Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have the correct time.
It's 11:16 exactly.
Must be a mistake. It should have happened by now.
Let's move.
Do you want to be a hero?
I'm James Bigglesworth. My friends call me Biggles.
Jim Ferguson.
Come on.
You mean that was 1917?
Time travel is not unknown in history.
Why me?
I think Biggles is your time twin.
You again? Some answers.
What do you say?
Say, let's kick some ass.
Biggles, the adventure begins one step back in time.
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod 3, the podcast that relights the fire of 80s action movies and celebrates the decade where the explosion was king.
It was,
wasn't it? This week we'll be donning our goggles, jumping in our kite, and going to heaven and back while fighting those damn jerrys. But because this is the 1980s, we will also be jumping back and forth in time. And being American, yes, it's Biggles Adventures in Time. Joining me to wanna be a hero is comedian and Welshman.
Professional Welshman.
I was going to put professional, yeah, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I mean, it's not amateur at this point.
No.
I can't Welsh in the Olympics anymore.
No.
I've been doing it too long.
What is the Olympic Games for Welsh people?
Coracles.
Right, yeah.
Coracle racing, coracle building.
Yeah.
Anything with a coracle, if you can make it competitive.
What is a coracle?
What's a coracle?
Yeah.
This is not a thing that's known outside of...
Well, it might be. It might just be. I don't know the name.
It's a small boat that is made solely in Wales that is a poorly made boat. I'll tell you that.
But like a canoe.
Yes, but it's more sort of a bike helmet upside down, sort of wood.
I know what you mean now.
Yeah,
it looks
a
bit like a cauldron.
It looks a bit like a cauldron,
yeah.
And it is our contribution to world transport.
Do you have like seaweed in that?
And well, not at the start of the day, but that's why you're going out there.
Lambus bread.
Lambus bread.
Oh no, that's Lord of the Rings. Sorry,
lava bread.
Lava bread. Yeah, sorry. I'm not being horrible to Welsh people. I love Welsh people, just so Dan knows and everybody listening who is Welsh.
Yes, I'm nonplussed about them, but...
Okay. If you want to find Dan on Twitter, though, he is at Dan Thomas Comedy.
Yes, I am.
But the exciting reason we're here today is because we found a joint passion that we both love, which is Biggles Adventures in Time.
Yeah, this came up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I assumed that my passion would be as strong as it was when I was...
Yeah, me too.
Maybe 6 or 7 last time I saw it. And luckily it is.
Yeah. We talked about this off air, but you were mentioning the Blue Peter set report.
Yeah, which I don't remember. You said that's the reason you watched it. I'll tell you this. I'm not a Blue Peter fan either.
Oh,
but
I was.
I'm going to say it straight away. That is definitely my favourite episode of Blue Peter ever.
Yeah.
It never at any point in history have Blue Peter started with the traditional da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Jerry! And a man falls to his death.
Yeah.
That's in the first 10 seconds of this episode of Blue Peter.
That is how they got rid of John Leslie.
And they've kept that bit in. I love that since the 80s, I don't know how many of you watch it, but they kill a man at the start of every episode.
They did. They used to try and kill Peter Duncan in every episode as well.
Yeah.
All these dares.
Yeah, and they eventually got him, and then, obviously...
They got him on porn in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
quite takes your breath away, that, doesn't it? And if you weren't quite sure what was going on there, and I must say I wouldn't blame you, we'll have to wait and see the whole film, which will be in cinemas all over the country at the end of next month.
But before that, Biggles, which has a PG certificate, will have a royal charity premiere on May the 22nd in the West End of London. It will be a real gala occasion with all the stars of the film there and their Royal Highnesses, the Prince and Princess of Wales.
Yeah, I was 9 years old when this film came out, 86.
Right, yeah.
And it was summer holidays and Blue Peter did a set visit on it. I was so excited about it.
I
don't know why now.
Well, had you heard of Biggles before?
Yes.
My mother was a fan, so I already knew Biggles.
Oh, right.
At the age of six, I already knew the weird... Because she bought the kids' version, because he rewrote... Because they were originally for grown-ups.
Yes.
And he rewrote them. And my mother bought a bunch of children's versions, were exactly the same as the adult versions, except the guy had to go through and change the word whiskey to milk. That's the only difference.
And there's no sex scenes.
There's no sex scenes in Biggles, anyway.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Him and Algy.
Did you... The later ones.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
He has to take off the Algy bra... No, the reason I knew Biggles is because of the Monty Python sketch.
That's how you... Okay, right.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned this. I've never seen that sketch.
Biggles Flies Undone.
What's it about?
It's not very progressive. It's about Biggles dictating a letter to his secretary, who keeps calling him Signor Biggles.
Dear real Princess Margaret, thank you for the eels, full stop. They were absolutely delicious and unmistakably regal, full stop. Sorry to mench, but if you finished with the hairdryer... Could you pop it in the pet? Yours, fictionally, Biggle. Oh, P.S. See you at the Saxe Coburg's canaster evening. That should puzzle her.
Si, Signore Biggles.
Silence, naughty lady of the night!
Next week, part two, Biggles Flies Undone.
Well, Chapman was really not that progressive, if I recall.
No.
Apart from that one thing.
What was the one thing when he's chased by the ladies with their boobs out?
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. That's the one. Mm. Just nice to give women some work in Monty Python.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
At least they didn't play them all.
Unfortunately, I just visualised that. It would probably look about the same now. They're all gentlemen.
Oh.
Wobbly.
I don't want to think about them now.
All right, well, that's not then. We'll talk about Biggles.
Let's talk about Biggles.
Which is even more depressing.
Which starts off as any Biggles. If you said to... Who wrote this? What was his name?
W. Johns.
W. Johns. If you said to him, W. Johns, good news. If you spoke to him in heaven via a seance, they have made a film of your Biggles character, and he would have been like, oh, brilliant. The first thing you see, what is it? Oh, is it like the battlefield in World War One? No, it's the Statue of Liberty.
It's the Statue of Liberty and then a coked-up executive. What? What? I hate... It's even... I remember being six.
Yeah.
And watching this and going, what is this? This is not Biggles. This is fucked. Mm. And then nothing changes really over the next hour and a half. It's...
When I was nine, though, I loved this song so much.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That when it came out on video, I taped it off with a tape recorder... So I could listen to Do You Want to Be a Hero? Well, I thought it was a lady.
Well, I haven't looked into it. Who is it?
It's John Anderson from the band Yes.
Oh, is it? Because I've looked up the lyrics, and you can't find the lyrics on the internet. Any other song in the universe, you look up that song, and you type in lyrics, and it's going to come up. This one, nobody has gone to the trouble of transcribing this dog shit.
Has anyone done the lyrics for Chocks Away?
I didn't even think the look, which is the actual worst song. We'll get to it, but that's the worst song.
Yeah,
I think ever recorded for a feature film.
I think so. Yeah, I did write down some of the lyrics. Have you seen my baby? Have you seen my showgirl?
Does that mean?
I don't know.
It's got nothing to do with this bloody film.
It's in the wrong time period.
Well,
anyway.
Well, it's a very 80s film.
Yeah.
I'll say that. As period things go, they've nailed the 80s. I know they were in it, but it's like it's got everything you want from an 80s, not want, but you have to put up with. A coked-up executive. Because the first time we meet our hero, who isn't even Biggles.
No, it's Jim Ferguson.
It's Jim Ferguson, a man who makes frozen food.
Yeah, TV dinners.
TV dinners. That celebrity dinners, whatever the hell that is. A thing that doesn't exist, they've made up because I think they think it's funny.
Yeah.
The first time we meet, he's asleep in a car for reasons that's never explained.
Coke.
Well, yeah. But what kind of coke is he buying that's making him go
asleep? He's on a come down.
He's on Horlicks, and then this is when you meet him.
Yeah.
This is how you meet your hero. And then there's some... Oh, remember you've got a big presentation in the morning because you have to because it's a film from the 80s.
Well, he wants to have sex first, doesn't he? He says, do you want to come up for a coffee?
He doesn't seem that bothered, does he?
No, he doesn't.
It's very much like, do you want to come on up and... Sex? Not really. No, fair enough.
But yeah, he's got to get ready for his presentation because he's got a big meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, as all people do in the 80s.
But what happens is as he's going into his flat, he's being followed by Peter Cushing, and it's the real one, not someone making him with a computer like they would now. The real one.
Having seen Peter Cushing in this, I'm all sins are forgiven about that CGI Peter Cushing. He was more creepy in life by this point.
Oh, he's very old.
He wasn't very old.
He was quite old.
He was 71.
Wow.
I know 71-year-old people who still golf and look very healthy.
Yeah, this but he's from the generation where they smoked 400 cigarettes a day and...
That doesn't make it all right. If you told me he was 95, I believe you.
Yeah, you're right.
He looks like a 100-year-old Welsh grandmother in this.
He does.
He does. He looks awful.
Mm.
When I looked at... I like to look around these things on Wikipedia. And it's like Peter Cushing. Oh, God, I bet he shot this 2 weeks before he died. He lived another 9 years after this film.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable.
It's all that vampire hunting. It takes it out of you. And you think of the amount of time Dracula might have cursed him.
Right. I mean, I don't
want to... Gypsies.
That can't be your answer to why everyone looks old.
That's why.
Well, he looks old, doesn't he? Yeah, it's gypsies.
What? Yeah, it's, gypsies. It's a Stephen King book, isn't it? Like, thinner, but...
Older.
Older. I did it in Welsh.
Older. Oh, bless him. Oh, he's got no time left, this one. Oh.
But he knocks on Jim Ferguson's door and says, has it happened yet? He says, 11:16. It should have happened by now.
Do you have the correct time?
It's 11:16 exactly.
11:16 exactly. Must be a mistake. It should have happened by now.
I'll tell you what. I'm very busy and I don't know what you're talking about, so why don't I just go, okay?
I'm imagining that there's some sort of candid camera show where, like, a bear comes through the window and has sex with him.
Well, have you... Just imagine... And he's like, has it happened yet? And the guy's like, what?
Puberty?
Has a bear come through the window and fucked you yet? No. Is that going to happen? No. I have to go. Reset, guys.
The bear being put back in a transit van.
I know.
Not today.
Gruffles is not playing ball. Quick, we've got to get this shot of this man being attacked by a sexy bear. Not sexy bear.
Is there any other kind of bear?
Yeah.
Yep, good. Okay. But he basically acts like Cushing's a crazy man because he sounds crazy.
Yeah. Because he's right, because Cushing comes in. Also, this introduces a plot point that is never revisited. Why hasn't it happened yet? He's like, oh, straight away, we've got a mystery.
Mm.
Why is whatever he's talking about not happened yet? Just hasn't. Probably hadn't checked his watch.
No.
I'm on London time.
Well, exactly, yeah.
And then 2 minutes later. By the way, we are only 4 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
We have learnt nothing about anyone or the world of the film other than a man we don't know has a presentation in the morning and my grandmother has knocked him on his door. To have arranged to have a bear attack him. I don't know what was going on there.
Hmm.
And then the lightning strike.
He gets struck by lightning and he gets sent to a field in the middle of World War One.
Well, yeah. Now, the key thing as well in this is he doesn't look like that's unusual.
No.
There's a look in his eyes like, oh, not again.
Yeah.
Every time I get some bad fucking Charlie, I end up in a... And then a plane crash, but he's so dozy, and I don't know if it's badly directed or if he's just a terrible actor or if he genuinely didn't know what was going on.
Hello?
Hello? Lend a hand.
I'm in a bit of a pinch here, old man. Something very strange just happened to my plane.
You're not kidding.
Hurry it along, will you? They'll start to whiz-bangers in a moment.
He runs over, he helps Biggles out, and then he does what you would do.
He doesn't wank him off.
No, he doesn't. Biff, bit of pattern, pull me off. Okay, here's my card. Thank you so much. I just think he gives him his card.
Yeah.
What kind of demented, coked-up, mental 80s executive is that? Well, I don't know who this guy is. We're in a field in the dark, but he might be able to help my career.
Mm. Well, luckily he did give him his car, because that comes back later, doesn't it?
Yeah, because that's just foreshadowing. That's just great writing.
It is, because Biggles tells him that the weapon made him crash, I think, and that he needs the camera and the plane blow up.
Yeah, and our hero, Jim Ferguson, has no questions. He just goes, good to know.
He says, my name's James Bigglesworth, but everyone calls me Biggles.
And Jim Ferguson says, yeah, fine. This is absolutely fine. Right. I do celebrity dinners. And then Biggles says, oh, you're American.
Mm.
Oh, I heard you chaps were coming over. I mean, because he sees, obviously, this guy's dressed like he's in the 80s. Ah, they haven't had time to ship over your uniforms yet. They don't... What? Nobody has ever been sent to a war and then said, sorry, lads, you're going to have to wear your own clothes for a couple of weeks. Just whatever you're wearing will be fine.
It's like school when you forget your PE kit.
Yeah, exactly. You just put whatever you got. Yeah, just got skins. Yeah. Yeah. Just don't worry. I would wear heavier clothes, just anything that's going to deflect a bullet like a cardigan.
But it wouldn't make much difference in World War One, though, would it?
What? Well, I mean, bullets are going to get through.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're being shot in no man's land, you might as well be naked rather than wearing a top.
Well, I think part of it is for the team element of it, going, if you don't know which side you're shooting on.
That's
okay.
True.
Okay, so that's in a German clothes. That one's in the British clothes. This guy is wearing... What does Reebok mean? Do we shoot him or not?
Would you, if you were naked in World War One, would you paint yourself, or under your costume, would you paint a German uniform? And then if you went in no man's land and everything got a bit bad, you could strip off. And they'd be like, oh, don't shoot him, he's German.
I'd probably cover myself in mud and then they wouldn't know. The old Predator trick.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would just figure out which side I was on. And then either it's like, oh, Kartoffelkopf, or, all right, lads. Whatever I feel the vibe of the trenches.
Hmm. I'd like to find out how you find out a vibe of a trench.
Yeah.
But Jim gets blown back to present day New York into his flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, he doesn't get blown back by Biggles.
No.
That's a very bad start for the film. He goes back to work the next day, and he's got a plaster on his head. And I think this is the day of his big presentation, isn't it?
It is the day of his big presentation, which I'm still not clear on what the product is.
Well, it's a TV dinner, and the woman at his work is upset with the cover because there's a lady with big boobs on the cover.
Yeah.
She says that they're big, stylish, and sexy. Or Porkins says this, so he's called Chuck.
Wait a minute, Porkins from Star Wars, but it's not actually Porkins from Star Wars, is it?
It is.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, Chuck, the one who keeps eating everything.
Is that Porkins?
That's Porkins.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, because he was an American actor who lived in the UK.
Yeah. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff.
He's in Superman 4.
He's in Superman 4.
Batman.
Who was he in Batman?
Oh, Eckhart, Think About the Future.
That's right.
Where you've been spending your nights.
This is by far the worst film he's in. And he's terrible.
He is really bad in this. He's not given much to do. His role in this, it's like Ricky Gervais has written his part. He's like, you're really fat, right?
Yeah.
And you eat all the time. And that's your whole character.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think they thought they were writing some funny sort of comic sidekick. And it is shit. Oh, it's all shit. I love it because everyone else you have coming on this show, I'm sure it's people with films that they love.
Not always.
But some affection for. This one I had affection for 30 years ago and I've watched it twice to check.
Yeah.
Right, in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is fucking shit. Everything is wrong about that. Even because it's that first bit I was watching where Porkins comes up and goes, I got another idea for you. We got a thing where it's basically you have a porn star and a snack.
Starlet snacks. Yeah.
And the slogan is Munch a Starlet Tonight. And I think that's supposed to be a laugh. But that the fucking why? Also, it's a PG. It was advertised on Blue Peter. There's a cunnilingus joke in the first 6 minutes.
There is.
I think it's a. I don't even get the joke.
No.
I think it's like you're eating out somebody, but it's actually a pie.
Yeah. And it's going to go on the Playboy channel.
And it's
kids are all over
kids
Playboy.
Kids love a Playboy channel.
But did you notice the cardboard cutouts behind them while they were talking?
I bet Arnold Schwarzenegger cameo.
The other one looked like Carla Lane. I was wondering if it was Carla Lane. That would be amazing.
There's a lot of... I feel like this is part of the reason they got funded. They go, Schwarzenegger, isn't it? Is it? Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Then later on, there's Clint Eastwood in the back.
Yes.
This all feels like a tax dodge to me. In fact, it is a tax dodge. I know that much.
Do you want to see a picture from the set of Biggles? Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who's he playing? You know, I don't want to give it away.
Is he playing Beagles?
Maybe. Give us cash.
When Chuck walks away, Porkins, the boss of the place, says, when are we going to drop that mound of shit? Again, this is a children's film.
Well, it was the 80s. You could say shit back then. That's true. Is something I miss about kids' films, is that you can't swear as much anymore.
But we found out the reason Porkins is there is because his dad...
Is the owns the his uncle? His uncle owns the bank.
Yeah, they've just given them all their money.
Oh, it's just plot points on plot. It's so densely written. This
it's rich.
It's rich. Oh,
seems.
I will say this about this film: is I have David Mamet said years ago, There's not many films that wouldn't benefit from having the first 10 minutes cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Audiences are clever. They'll just figure it out. Mm-hmm. Well, this film is evidence that that's not true.
No.
Because it feels like there is something missing from the start and the middle and the end that would help it immensely. It is a shambles.
Yeah. Still, it's fun though, isn't it?
You enjoyed it, didn't you?
I did.
Oh.
No, I don't think it's very good. I think it was short. more of a nostalgia thing.
It is. It's very.
There's
of its
lots
time.
Of things in this film that I realised last night that I often think about without realising it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The war.
The war. The bloody war. Also, the bit, not to jump ahead of ourselves too much, but the bit where Porkins has to give away the wedding ring at the end and he opens his.
Package. I think that's another bit. Yeah. I didn't realise. Every time I see somebody getting married now, yep. I think of that, but I didn't know what it was from.
Same.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you go. But Peter Cushing comes to his work. And yeah. says, did you jump back in time last night?
Yes.
He says, my name is Commander Raymond, and I was Biggles Superior in 1917 on the Western Front. Did you save him?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, I did.
The other thing is, at some point, it's established that that character, Peter Cushing's character, is 80 years old.
Yes.
Which means he would have been 12 in 1917. Now, that's the show I want to see. That's the movie where Biggles is commanding officer as a 12-year-old boy. It is a period remake of Cop and a Half.
Yes.
Starring Peter Cushing.
Biggles and a Half.
Biggles and a Half.
Yeah.
It's the feel-good comedy of the summer.
They did used to take soldiers before they were old enough. Peter Jackson's film told
But they weren't making them commanding officers and they weren't 12 years old.
They might have been very rich.
But then, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, they used to buy their commissions, didn't they? You might have been a very rich...
What do you want for Christmas? Like, a commission to the front, Father?
You might have been Lord Snooty from the Beano.
That's amazing. What do you want? Would you like a nice jigsaw or a pony to ride? No, I'd like a commission to the front.
Yes.
Good boy, Timothy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense. It's just another bit of,
He says, you must come to London at once. Here's my address.
The Tower of London.
Tower Bridge.
Tower Bridge.
Yeah. Which no. I went there recently with my children.
Yeah.
And I still think that he might still be living in there.
Did you think that?
No.
Does anyone live... I'm not from London.
No, you're not.
Does anyone live in the Tower of the Tower Bridge?
No, I don't think so.
Right, so that's just another lie.
It's a fantasy. There might be someone living there. Alan Sugars might live in there.
Or do you think it's expensive?
Probably.
Do you think, but like he says in the film, it's quite noisy when the bridge goes up, so I don't know if that's going to keep it like South Wales prices.
Might be.
You get a lot of your money there.
Yeah. I like to think Basil the Great Mouse Detective lives in there.
Yeah, but he doesn't need the whole place for himself.
That's true. I have got a problem with Cushing's house, and I'll get to this in a minute, but first there's a celebrity dinner's big party.
Yeah.
And the dinners look fucking awful.
Yeah.
They really, really do.
They've got dry ice coming off them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was supposed to be that they're frozen dinners or if they were like going, oh, they look like they've been cooked. No, it's dry ice. You look like
it looked awful. And Porkins eats one of them because he's a funny fat bloke.
Because he's a funny fat bloke.
He picks up one of the chicken legs and no one's looking and goes, oh, 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 and then puts it back.
And he rolls it over. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's fun. It's just humour, isn't it? Just top comedy.
It'd be better if he stuffed it up his arse and started having sex with it.
Like the other kids' movies we used to enjoy.
But the lady who they're trying to impress says that the corn on the cob looks like dog puke.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
It's a solid sphere. Mm. Not sphere, what do you call them? Tubes.
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 Yeah.
That's never going to look like dog puke. Also, I think they've put in the word dog puke thing in Kids Love the Word Puke.
Yeah. Maybe she meant dog dick.
Yeah, we've run it, and dog dick, while logically it makes sense, kids don't laugh at the word dick. Weird. They love puke.
Love puke. Kids laugh at the word penis.
Do they?
Yeah, my eldest has discovered the word penis, and he thinks it's the funniest word in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine really like winky, the word.
Yeah, that's a funny word. Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But in the middle of this celebrity dinner's party, Jim's doing quite well with this lady. Not in a sexy term, but in terms of selling over celebrity dinners. But unfortunately, gets struck by lightning again. And we get... You know, we were talking about the writing in the film is absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. He gets sent to Biggles' plane, and Biggles says, what are you doing in my plane? And Jim says, I don't know.
You again? What the deuce are you doing in my plane?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is there's no degree of look, mate, I think I'm tripping balls here. I'm gonna be honest here. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know who you are. What the fuck's going on? It's just why is he so calm?
I don't know.
Because they can't be bothered to write the reality of that character.
No.
Because what would you do if you did? You'd freak out.
Yes.
I suppose the guy, okay, we're going to do a reconnaissance mission. All right, but after that, I'm going to ask some strong questions.
I'd start being sick and crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not as good a movie, but...
No. But you need we need to talk about Jim Ferguson. You need someone with a bit more charisma, don't you?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's badly written or that. I never saw that actor in anything again, apart from Pretty Woman.
Oh, yes. And the Fantastic Four film that no one's allowed to see.
Oh, my God, that's where else I've seen him in.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's also Henry Jones Sr. in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but his scene got cut. So you only see his hand when Indy's
young.
That is
an amazing piece of trivia. I thought I knew everything about Alan.
And his dad was Wilfred Hyde White.
Yeah, who, Chalky White, which is everyone, he was brilliant, and his son is rubbish.
Yeah, sorry, Alex, if you're listening.
I'm so sorry.
I don't think it's his fault. I think he'd be all right. I just think you need someone who's a bit more of a comedian to do this part, I think.
Or a hero quality. He's just such a... He's sort of good-looking in the 80s, in that... But he looks like a keyboard from a band.
Yeah, he does.
Not
a
keyboardist.
Yeah, not even the singer, just the keyboard.
Yeah, he's just the guy in the band. Goes, oh, nice hair. I'm going to ask for whatever that guy's got.
Yeah.
But he has got no charisma. The character is... I figured there must be a scene missing from the start of the film where he's clearly a drug addict.
Mm.
Because he's already unconscious and it's like a trippy thing.
Yeah.
But I think they just couldn't be bothered to write anything. Because they're like, oh, look, we haven't got time for development of plot or character here. We just need to get to the very expensive aerial fight scene we've already shot.
Yeah.
And that feels like a very brief scene there where he meets Biggles again.
What a cunt. But they have a dog fight, which, again, he's very on board with.
Yeah, he's fine with it. Because also, he goes, shoot. Now then, I'm pretty sure those old machine guns are more complicated than just point and shoot. He must have to do something else. He's like, nah, I'm nailing this.
Yeah. Well, he is American.
Oh, yeah, satire.
They love their guns,
they do.
They?
But it's a 100-year-old gun, I'm sure.
It wasn't at the time, though.
No. But, yeah, Americans, not only do they love a gun, they know all guns from the start of time.
That's basic storytelling, isn't it?
That is, yeah. You don't need to establish anything. As long as, oh, American, he can use a gun, that's fine.
But they are going on a reconnaissance mission before they get into the dog.
And I love he knows what that is as well. We're on a reconnaissance mission. I would probably have to look that up.
I think I'd know.
I don't know. If I was a coked up food salesman, I don't think I'd be like, right, okay, let's do this.
Because they only get a picture of the weapon.
And that's where they establish the weapon, which is...
Makes his plane fly funny.
Does it?
Yeah. He says,
when he starts going, oh, yeah.
He says, I think I can beat it with altitude. And then he flies up really high and he goes, that fixed it.
I guess it's just pointing at him and it's just, you can't, it's like phone signal. You can't get that in a plane.
Well, we find out later, it's a sound weapon.
It's a sound.
I don't know if that means it's like sound, like really good.
The hand movement you're doing is so helpful.
It's gang sign.
Just, fucking sound. It's a sound-based weapon. Yeah. I love the fact, this is the thing, it's metal.
Yeah.
It's grey and it really fits in against the overcast sky. You can barely see it.
Yeah.
But what they've done is they've put like camouflage netting over it.
Yeah.
Which makes it considerably more visible.
Yes. That's the thing about this film is there can be no fucking doubt for a second where this was filmed.
Like Surrey.
It's overcast all the time. There's not one piece of sunshine in this film.
I love I think probably every aerial fight scene has a bit in it where it's set in 1917, war-torn Germany, I guess.
Yeah.
They're clearly flying over well-populated A-roads in Surrey.
Yeah.
I think I saw a Dixon's van going past at one point. It's so cheap, this film.
Yeah.
And on both sides, their airbase is literally just a field that they probably haven't even rented. They've just gone, quick, fucking just get the planes in here. We've got to shoot quick before the farmer gets angry at us again. And it's often just a couple of planes, one, like a catering tent that they've put up with a bit of camouflage, and one, like, authentic vehicle that they've rented. It's such a cheap film.
Yeah.
It gives it a dreamlike quality because it's like, this doesn't feel real at all.
No, absolutely. And I was reading that the filmmakers of this film, they had the rights to Biggles in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make an authentic Biggles film. And then they were going to do it like Indiana Jones, which I think might have been quite interesting, because he's kind of that sort of anyway. Yeah. And then they saw Back to the Future and were like, time travel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrap that, we're doing this. It's a good thing it wasn't a couple of years later and like Right, Dirty Dancing's the big hit this year. Right, scrap this. Biggles, write this down. Biggles pays for a friend's abortion. Right, go film that.
Biggles Havana Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is the weird thing as well. The music in this is by a guy called Stanislas.
Right.
Who is I think was Stanislas Syrix. Sheesh.
So you've looked him up.
I have. He's a Russian fella.
Right.
But I liked his mysterious name. It just said music by Stanislas, which sounds like a clone.
Yeah.
But there's a bit in this which suggests that Jim and Biggles love each other.
Right.
Because then when they land from the mission, this beautiful little romantic piano piece starts playing.
Yes.
And I thought, are they going to get off?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't, because every time, the great thing about this film, the way it's directed, you know when he's going to jump back in time. Because it's always when the scene's basically reached its natural conclusion and Jim's just standing there like a spare prick.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
And then it goes, and he gets sent back to the future.
It is a glorious thing about this, is that they can just go, right, we haven't figured out how to end this scene. Ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
He just goes somewhere else.
Yep.
That is the only I know the scene you're talking about. It's lovely, classical, almost like it's almost quite John Barry music.
It gets used later for the love theme between Maria and
Biggles. Because they land near the nunnery, don't they? Yeah. In that bit. So it's that's the theme of the nunnery. The
nunnery theme.
But that's the only good piece of music in the entire
apart from Chocks Away, of course.
Right, which we will fucking get to, which is the worst piece of music ever recorded, certainly for a film, but probably in general.
Yeah.
It is demented.
I am going to. I'll insert it, as it were, later, so people can hear it
Jesus
at home.
God,
because it is on YouTube, thankfully.
Oh, thank God!
Yeah, but just as Jim is thinking, "Wow, I like being Biggles' friend," he gets sent back to the celebrity dinner party.
Yeah,
celebrity dinner party, I should say, and he's covered in mud, which he wasn't a minute ago, and he's all like,
"Yeah,"
and he's basically ruined the party.
Well, he hasn't. I mean, because he looks like he's been electrocuted.
Yeah.
There are a million ways. People seem to be blaming you. You ruined this by vanishing. I don't know if it's like for the full period of it.
He
just
probably wouldn't have even vanished, would he? He went behind a screen.
He went behind a screen and he comes out covered in shit.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to blame him. It's like something terrible happened in there and he looks fairly distressed. Let's not put this on him.
Yeah.
Let's ask, is everything all right, mate?
Actually, as it turns out later on, we find out that they bought loads of them anyway. It was a successful party.
Oh, that's right. So yeah. it went well, so it doesn't matter.
So maybe he added to the atmosphere.
Yeah. Oh, do you see that thing he does? He goes behind a script. What, I love that as an act.
Yeah.
You've got to see this fella. You've got to get him for your next product launch. He goes behind a thing, shits himself, comes back out. He has not... We sold 10,000 units then and there.
Yeah, that's what happened.
He can only do one show a night.
Yeah.
But, oh, what a show.
Yeah. Before the internet, you see, it was an easy.
It's kids before the internet. That's all we had. Were just people shitting themselves behind things.
Simpler times.
It was simpler times. ITV.
That's what they thought Tommy Cooper had done, isn't it? When he died. He's shit himself again. Oh no!
He's fucking filled that fez. What a show!
But he runs away from Debbie, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Says, "I'm going to London."
And she says, "Do you want to come with me?" No.
No.
Stay away from me.
Stay away from me. I love the way he keeps saying to her, "It's personal." Which makes it sound like he's growing another penis or something.
I keep shitting myself behind things.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But we cut to Tower Bridge, number 1A.
Yeah.
And there is no fucking way, this is what I'm coming back to from earlier, that Peter Cushing can get up and down those stairs.
Well, he doesn't have to.
And ladders.
He doesn't have to, because as we know, he's got the ropes. He can parasail down everything.
He's got two ropes.
He's got two ropes.
Yeah. One for coming down, one for going up.
One for going up,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A Stanner rope.
Still probably couldn't do it, though, could he?
Don't know, but I want to see it. Fragile old man.
Jesus. He'd fall apart halfway down, like a doll.
But why? Because it's very low impact. As long as he's got good, thick gloves, it's going to be a lot easier than going down the stairs.
True.
Yeah.
All right, well, that explains that then.
Yeah.
He says to him in a really scary way, "This is my lair."
This is my lair, as I call it.
Yeah.
Well, what do other people call it?
Where are the boys? Come on.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Oh, lads.
Under the floorboards. The thing is, you could successfully murder people there because you could kill them, open the window, fling them into the Thames.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect place to murder people.
Yeah, people do trust the creepy old Welsh grandmother too much in this.
They do.
Because at no point does he offer any proof for what he's saying. It's like, time travel is a thing. I was in World War One, and I live in a tower. Drop by whenever.
What if, tipping this on its head, what if Peter Cushing knew, right, if Germany won World War One, World War Two wouldn't have happened, and he'd have saved millions of lives. And what if it was him being really horrible pro-Nazi?
God, that would be an amazing third act twist.
Wanting World War Two to happen.
You have given this more thought than anyone who worked on the script did.
Yeah,
you're right. As a result of this, World War Two happens.
Yeah,
millions more die.
Yeah,
needless.
Just let Germany win, just because you know someone got hungry and shot an ostrich.
Baldrick.
Sorry. But Jim wants answers.
Yeah, and thank God he gets them.
Mm.
I mean, there's nothing more. What's going on? Well, what does he say? Time travel is not unknown in history.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it
just
is.
Because you're saying it with a wise old man voice. He's right there, mate. What? He goes, no, it is much more common than anyone believes.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, mate.
Do you think Peter Cushing rung Alec Guinness and went, you know you got that Star Wars part, right? I've got a part like that now.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Biggles Adventures in Time. All right. It's going to be a trilogy.
I don't think he thought it was going to be a fucking trilogy. Nobody really thought it was going to be a trilogy.
It's the new Star Wars.
I think he said, you know that piece of shit you were in and you were making fun of it the entire time you were in it? Yes. I'm in fucking something worse. I reckon they were sitting in a pub, probably down in Soho, just going, I'm in a bigger piece. I think they were in a competition about who was in the biggest piece of shit. Then Ralph Richardson turns up and goes, remember I was in Rollerball?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough, you're right.
Harsh on Rollerball.
I think he would have thought Rollerball was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Then, what's his fella? Laurence Olivier would have come in, said, I just did Wild Geese 2. How's it going?
Ooh. Who's buying the rounds tonight, Ed? You won that one. And also, when I die, I've told them they can put me in Last Action Hero. Fuck you all.
Oh, yeah. Because of his wife.
That's right. She was...
She's the teacher.
She's the teacher.
Yeah. Joan Plowright.
The lovely Joan Plowright.
Dame Plowright to you.
To me? What is she to you?
Joan.
Oh, I see. She's Alan Plowright to me.
Yeah. Playwright. I don't know why I said that. But what I forgot to mention was when Jim got sent back from the past to the future, he was holding the photo that Biggles had taken.
That's right.
Of the weapon.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dick pic. So he gives it to Cushing, who says, I'll get it developed. He's going to take it to Boots, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. You've forgotten the part where he says, is it something to do with this? Why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
And Peter Cushing says, you and Biggles are time twins.
That's right.
And then Jim says, time twins?
Time travel is not unknown in history. There's evidence that it happens more often than anyone suspects.
Yeah, but why me?
I don't know the why of it, only that it happens.
Well, how can I keep on meeting Biggles, then?
Now, as to that, I think Biggles is your time twin.
Time twin?
Listen, you got anything stronger than tea?
And that's all he says.
Yeah. Not.
Please, would you like to hear more?
Please explain.
It's just like, it's like time twin. Damn it, my cousin had that. Shit, I hate being time twins. And that's it. That is the last thing it's even brought up about why this time travel thing is happening.
And also, you thought the comment, "This is my lair," as I call it, was ominous. He then produces a giant bag and says, "The time has come for action." What's in that bag?
Why is that vibrating?
Lube. Have a lube in there. And a boy. Who's this Moroccan lad? Anyway, what he's given him is a World War One uniform and an Uzi.
And an Uzi.
And a bayonet.
I just had these lying around. And he says, dress up like... Oh, he didn't tell him. He just says, you know what to do with that, I assume. And then Jim goes and sits in his hotel room, dressed like a World War One soldier with an Uzi and a bayonet.
And he says, you must make sure Germany don't win the war, otherwise you will be stuck in 1917 as a time orphan.
Which is what? You're just a bloke trapped in time.
Yeah, you're not an orphan.
No.
That suggests you've got no parents.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, is it?
They seem to have an idea that anything sounds cooler with the word time before it.
Yeah.
Time twin, fucking brilliant. Time orphan, brilliant.
Yeah. Time piss flaps.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And that's what you've done is prove that it's not everything.
Not everything,
just
no.
Just orphans and twins.
But Jim calls Debbie, and the dinner, as we said earlier, was a success. Porkins suddenly says that he sounds stressed and that he's probably gone mad, and he's bought a book on it.
Diseases of the Mind.
That's right. And then this is the bit that I the time traveller I can accept, right? Up to a point.
Yeah.
But then the boss, the quite sort of rugged-looking boss with the beard...
Yeah.
Debbie says, I'm going to go to London. And he says, I'll come with you. She says, no, you need to stay here to do the deal. I'll take Chuck.
Yeah.
Why would you take him with you?
Oh, because he's the comic fun. He's so funny. People make fun of him. Oh, but isn't he sweet and lovely? He's a dick. He's a...
Should have been Mike McShane.
Why is that character even in it?
Comic relief.
But it's not a relief. No. I genuinely get stressed every time he comes up.
Yeah.
And then he... Well, later on, he's got this idea. None of it's established either, that he has an interesting mental health or anything.
Or like that he loves Debbie and doesn't want Jim to be with her.
It's just like, every morning, it just, try and remember, you're a dick. Okay, that's my only note for you today.
You need to have a subplot here that he loves Debbie.
Yeah.
And doesn't want Jim to be with her, because it would explain his actions later.
Yeah.
But no.
None of it makes sense. It just reminds me, you've heard the story of Rob Reiner, every morning when he was doing Misery, would just walk up to James Caan and say, okay, now, in this scene, you're in bed, and let's go. And he would just do it every morning as a joke. And it feels like they've just done this to this guy. Okay, just try and remember, you're a cunt. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. But then the cleaner comes in and catches him dressed as a World War One soldier and starts laughing, because I bet she's seen worse.
I know. Yeah. That's maybe my worst scene in this. It was just, she just laughs.
In his face.
In his face. But he is, again, as we've just established, he has an Uzi. There's nothing funny about what she's just seen.
No, it's quite worrying.
Yeah, it's quite... Well, you don't laugh. You go, okay, I'm just going to leave you alone. Obviously, I have to call the police now. You understand?
Yeah, I've got a gun.
Yeah, so I don't know why I'm laughing. Probably a nervous laughter.
This was this was before Michael Ryan, though.
Who's Michael Ryan?
He's the guy who did the Hungerford Massacre.
See, I don't know all these English facts. What's the...
What's the Hungerford?
Which one was the Hungerford Massacre?
That's the one where the bloke walked around the town of Hungerford with a machine gun and shot everybody.
Right.
So this is innocent times where you could have a Uzi in a hotel and it would be funny.
When did that happen?
87.
Oh, so the year after.
Yeah.
So it's like, so this guy in 1987, he goes, I wasn't going to do this, but then Biggles was a hit.
Yeah. He got, First Blood got blamed, but it was Biggles.
It was, yeah. Okay, good. Oh, I've never heard of that English massacre.
No,
where'd you get a machine gun in England?
Well, you could buy them then.
What? What for?
You could get a gun license and own an automatic weapon.
But what for?
Exactly. They got banned after that.
Because we got shotguns. Everyone's got a shotgun in Wales, but that's for the rats.
And other Welshmen.
Well, yeah. Well, second homeowners from Shropshire, to be honest. But but we don't need a machine gun.
No.
One shot, that's all we need.
Yeah. I say, right, we should get rid of guns.
Well, from everywhere.
From everywhere.
Like I said, we've got pretty big rats.
What do we need guns for?
Can we keep them in mid-wheels?
No.
Why?
You could use a
hammer. They're really... you can't. They're fast, those rats.
Get a big hammer.
Well, that's a car. Oh, yeah, we could do that as
Bow and arrow.
We are not very good shots.
All right. Well, you can have guns then.
Thanks.
Yeah. Welsh guns. Those blunderbusses.
Also, but you know what? You're right. We don't need guns. We are pretty threatening without a gun. I don't know if you've been out in Cardiff on a Friday night, but nobody needs a gun. They'll kick the shit out of you.
I don't like Wales at night.
Have you been to Wales at night?
I have.
Oh, you were in Llandudno. Not the same.
I've come to Swansea.
Oh, how was that? Tell me everything.
It was a bit weird.
Define weird. Was it terrible? Were you scared?
Noisy. Very noisy.
You've been very polite, haven't you?
Yeah.
What happened? Somebody vomited in front of you and hurled a brick.
There's lots of shouting.
At you?
Just generally. Outside a pub.
But I've heard people shout in London.
Yeah, but they don't do it in Welsh.
Oh, is that the concern?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to assure you it wasn't going to be nice.
Hmm.
But Welsh people are only threatening to English people who don't know what we're saying. What we're saying is very funny.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I maintain that every villain should be Welsh.
Yes.
In films, because we have a way of being both funny and threatening. Now, I know there's a lot, but like Alan Rickman in like Die Hard, he's funny at times, he's also threatening. The Welsh are the only people who can do both at the same time. Right. Because I think we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
Welsh dads are very threatening.
Yeah.
And somebody reminded me of this. My friend's dad was doing this thing. He was cutting up wood in his garden, and he was just throwing it into the road on A road, over the wall of his fence.
Jesus Christ.
And eventually, because he didn't need it anymore, he was like, fuck him. He chucks it over, and eventually hits a Saab or something. And the owner of the Saab gets out, and he goes, well, you there? English, in my imagination,
right,
is English.
Right.
Is there something wrong with you? And my friend's dad just picked up a massive piece of wood and be something wrong with you in a minute. And that, to me, cracks me up.
Mm.
That's threatening and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
That'd be a good bad in a Hollywood action movie.
Yeah. There haven't been any Welsh bad guys, are there?
No. I can't think of any Welsh.
Hopkins as Nixon, but that's not quite the same. Well, if he played it Welsh.
If he played it Welsh.
You fucking won't have me to push around no more. What? I'm off, mate.
Ewan Griffith, whatever he's called.
Ewan Griffith?
Yeah,
you struggle with that one every time,
don't you? I do. I don't know. It's pronounced. He's a goodie, though. He needs to play. He never plays Welshman.
No, he doesn't, does he? Oh, no. He was in that Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't special effects.
No.
People don't know that about the Welsh.
It's because he grew up near Port Talbot.
Port Talbot, yes. That makes you very elastic.
Very stretchy. So, Jim decides, I'm dressed ridiculously. I'm going to go put on Another One Bites the Dust by Queen and shave in the nude.
Oh, I thought he was wearing a jumper in that scene as well.
No,
he's probably an 80s hairy man.
Very hairy, and he's listening to Another One Bites the Dust. Suddenly he gets struck by lightning, but as he does, he picks up his towel, and then he ends up in a nunnery.
Oh, with a low camera angle, you can really see up his...
You can see. He's wearing pants, I looked last night, but you can see.
Somebody got the Blu-ray. Oh, nice.
Mm.
You couldn't make it out on a DVD.
I watched it on a stream.
Did you really?
Not a river, but yeah. But you can see. If you wanted to, you could have a look.
Everyone go and look now. We'll wait.
We'll wait for you to come back. But it turns out they're 10 miles behind enemy lines. Algy finds him, and Ginger and Bertie, whatever their fucking names are, they come in and start questioning, who are you and what are you doing here? You're an American, aren't you? And he says, I'm American Secret Service. Special mission.
He's finally learned to fucking lie.
Yeah. And then Biggles comes in.
I keep telling people I'm a catering guy. Oh, fuck, just lime it.
And yes, Biggles comes in and goes, release him. Hello, Jim. Whatever he says. Thanks for wanking me off that night. You've saved 100 men. Now, how would you like to save 1,000 by letting me fuck you? Anyway, they're in the 10 miles behind enemy lines, and he says, we're going to go and... I'm meeting a contact here who's going to give us important information. And he says, yeah, but first I need to get dressed. So, of course, they give him a nun's uniform.
Yeah. Which is the Bond, obviously. Actually, Bond never dressed him in drag, did he?
He dressed as a clown once.
He dressed as a clown, yeah.
But the contact he's meeting is a lady called Marie, a French woman. And it's the waitress from Hello, Hello.
Well, I've written down, the whole film for the next 15 minutes turns into a low, a low.
Yeah.
Listen, Gary, I'll tell you only once. And then Von Stahlheim turns up, who is just, he who's obviously the German bad guy. Is he Baron von Stahlein or something that? Yeah. What is that with old movies as well? Why have you got to be a Baron to be a German pilot?
Because there was the famous Red Baron.
But did you? But was it? Was he a Baron?
I think. I don't think he was a real. Maybe. Yeah, but he was. Yeah, Baron von Tinkerhoffen.
So he's turn up and go, "Hello, I'm here for the role of the war pilot. Are you a Baron? No, I'm just a Viscount.
I'm Keith.
Read the fucking job application. We need Barons to fuck off.
I'm Keith Baron.
From
Duty Free.
From Duty Free. Can you fly a plane? I'm a big fan.
Yeah, can. I have to have sex with Gwen Taylor, though, while I'm doing it.
It's not a big plane, but we'll see what we can do when you're down on the ground.
The bad, did you notice who the baddie is in this? That's Stalin.
I recognise him from like everything, but I don't.
He's an Army of Darkness as the.
Who he is. That's right.
Yes.
If I may, he is awful as well.
He's terrible,
just this pretty, but again, not well served by the script. He actually does the dialogue that is. Finally, Biggles, we meet.
We meet at last, Mr. Biggles.
The two legends of the sky meeting for the last time, for the first time. Take him away. I would like to shoot you in the head. So sad that I can't shoot you, but it will just the firing squad.
I can tell you are scared by your long feces. but yeah, so it's Marie from it's a low hello. Biggles loves her.
He does, and never explained why.
No. It's so you.
Didn't she already fuck him over once? Isn't there like a long backstory explained quickly?
That she fucked over Biggles, but she also fucked over the Germans. So if either of them are quite happy to get hold of them. Get hold of her and shoot her.
Exactly. And they should be really angry.
You shouldn't trust her at all.
No. But he's like, what it is, though, is she's an absolute tremendous bit of gwat. So we've let it go.
She does. Yeah. I won't go there. So then the thing is, right, my problem at this point is the combo of action, time travel, and the word Biggles feels incongruous.
Right.
It's like sort of making Thomas the Tank Engine a blaxploitation thriller.
Right.
It just feels incongruous that everyone's saying Biggles, because at one point, Jim later on says, Biggles, let's kick some ass.
Yeah. You mean the word Biggles feels Biggles. So inherently ridiculous.
Because it feels to me like it's just very British and posh.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I think this, I mean, this whole film is a fantasy of what they think post-Brexit Britain's going to be anyway.
Yeah. World War One.
We're friendly. Yeah, we're going to go back to this.
Yeah.
Just, it'll just be us, the Americans. We can make fun of the Germans again.
Hello, hello, come back.
Hello, is. Have you heard this thing? Johnny Depp is obsessed with a lower lower.
Yes.
What? Okay, good. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's shit, isn't it?
I used to really like it. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'd probably still enjoy watching it. I had a huge affection for it.
I get the sense you still. You being a grown up hasn't changed your opinion of things you loved when you were a kid.
No. No, even when I watch them, even though I know they're shit, I still quite enjoy the feeling.
Because you get the feeling of being a child again.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're getting this from Biggles?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I don't think it's very good.
Okay. Well, it's not.
No. I think it's actually worse than Superman 4.
Yeah. Because I've heard there's a good film buried in Superman 4.
Yeah.
Or cut out from Superman 4.
Yeah.
Whereas I know with this film, everything they shot, they had to use.
Because
the budget on this was $7 million in 1985.
That's
which is $15 million today, and Jesus. They were trying to start a big budget franchise with that. And they can't afford anything that looks like an airbase. They can't afford anything that feels like a special effect. They have to use that one song 5 times, plus the other one, Chalks Away, which I will haunt me forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes you happy. At least it's mercifully short, I'll say that about it.
Yes, 1 hour 32 minutes, and that's with credits. So.
That's with credits, yeah. 1:29, you're out.
Yeah. So that's one of the things it's got going for it.
You never get bored. You haven't got time to get bored.
No. But Marie has a map to the weapon. You stupid Biggles. But then the Germans arrive and surround the convent.
Well, let's ease back. They don't surround the convent. There's eight of them,
yeah. But they stand around it.
They stand around it at about 30 feet away from each other and hope nobody sneaks through.
But Biggles decides the best course of action at this point is to surrender.
Yep. Strategic genius.
And Jim, because he's dressed as a nun, he's able to kind of file out with no one noticing him.
He's got a 5 o'clock shadow. Why didn't they all dress like fucking nuns?
I don't know, that's a good point. I suppose Algy's got a moustache.
Well, he's the one who's fucked.
Yeah. Literally.
Algie, I'm so sorry. We told you about the moustache. You know what they tell you in basic training? Don't wear a moustache in case you have to disguise yourself as a beautiful nun.
Watch out for that bear. It's going to have sex with you. Why hasn't it happened?
They could all be disguised as nuns and the movie's over.
But also, when Biggles is brought before Stalin,
yeah,
he does say the line, I would rather finish you myself in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that line because it brings up a lovely image of him wanking him off at 30,000 feet.
Do you know how this works? Yeah, it's fully automatic, yeah.
But they put before a firing squad, but Jim has a brilliant idea because he's still somehow got his shaver.
Yeah.
And he turns it on and throws it and shouts grenade.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea, I think.
Nope.
No?
No, because he turns it on and he goes, vzz. There are grenades in this film and none of them look or sound like a razor. Everyone's going to look down at that and go, I don't think that's a grenade.
He's from the future, though.
He could have thrown a nun and said, grenade, and it's as convincing looking a grenade as that razor.
Is it?
They both don't look like a grenade. I mean, they're probably going to be more able to quickly identify a thrown nun than a chucked razor, but other than that...
Look, the script at this point is trying. Give it 2 points.
As we get further into this, there's going to be a lot more of you going, look!
It's trying. It's trying something.
Do you know this...
How upset would you be if he threw a nun and shouted grenade?
I'd be exactly as upset as I am that he's thrown a razor and gone grenade.
Okay.
Because she could have been wearing like a body vest or something. Oh, this is one of those suicide nuns. And all the children go, oh, not a sword, then not run. But a little razor, it could be anything.
Could be.
But it works. Yeah, that's the important thing.
And Jim is sent back to present day, hilariously dressed as a nun, just as Debbie and Chuck arrive at his hotel room.
Again, this is going to be something that I keep saying, no, this is my worst scene.
Yeah.
She knocks on the door, let us in. No, please let us in. And he opens the door dressed as a nun.
It's personal, I told you.
As opposed to going, give me a minute, my dick's out.
Yeah.
I've just been in the shower not dressed as a nun.
Yeah.
It's just this forced comedy.
And then he says, I told you, it's personal. Which now suggests that he's a transvestite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah. And that's what Chuck says.
He's a transvestite.
He's a religious transvestite.
Bank robber, because he sees the gun as well. I love that they're more concerned about the fact he's wearing a dress than he's got a gun.
Yeah.
But that, again, Americans.
So Chuck, this bit is confusing. He calls for an ambulance. He goes down to the reception and he calls for an ambulance to take Jim away for having a gun and a nun costume.
Yeah.
And then says, I'm a doctor.
Why does that happen? And he's so smug about it. He's like, oh, look, a phone. I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And he dobs him in. But not the police, to the hotel receptionist. Or not even the receptionist, the woman in the phone bank.
The operator.
Yeah, the operator.
But at this point, Jim and Debbie have gone for a walk.
They've just gone for a lovely walk.
So it's confusing because that suggests that they're still... Because they do start having a chat at the hotel room. And then he calls in and they've gone for a walk.
Yeah. At this point, the editing goes for a fucking...
Yeah.
I've written it down because she says something. He's trying to explain to her. Oh, yeah, he says, I'm travelling through time. I keep leaping back to... Oh, can't say that, copyright. I'm going back to 1917 for some reason.
Mm.
And she goes, okay. And he goes, you believe me? Sure, if you say so, that's fine. And then it cuts back to Chuck's scene for like 30 seconds. Then it cuts back to Debbie and Jim and they're rowing because he says, there's someone who can help us in Tower Bridge. And he goes, don't, you're talking crazy. Tower Bridge, you need help. Wait a minute. So time travel's fine, but you don't believe that anything could be both a tower and a bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor woman.
She's not from London like you. You didn't know about Tower Bridge, did you?
Well, I'd heard of it.
Yeah.
I believe in it.
Have you been there?
Probably. I've seen it. I've driven past it.
Mm.
So, you know, I can vouch for it being there.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're here. Otherwise, people would think I was crazy. When they get back to the hotel, Chuck has called the police. But when they get there, Chuck is being dragged out of the hotel with a gun in his face.
Yeah, where did that come from?
And he's going, what are you doing? I'm not crazy. Why? There's a scene been cut there.
There's a scene that was never shot.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like, I'm not saying I want the 3-hour director's cut of Biggles.
No.
But I feel you do get the sense that they not everything was done.
Yeah.
Because they had to shoot this really quick because they were getting a government subsidy to get all the money for it on a scheme. Right. The reason this film exists is because of Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
Because there was this thing that had happened in the 40s where British filmmakers would get this subsidy from this levy on ticket sales.
Yeah.
And at some point in 85, they said, it's not really working anymore, so we're going to scrap it at this date. And the Biggles people went, fuck, we need to go into production now. But the script's only a third finished. Fuck you, I'm renting a plane now. We're making this.
Yeah.
And so it's obviously very cheap, very quickly produced.
I wonder if it was the last one.
It would have been around one of the last ones. If there's probably a bunch of films from the mid-80s British ones that were rushed into production. It explains a lot about mid-80s British films.
It's this and The Boys in Blue. when they go back to the hotel, Chuck is being arrested and they're about to run away when lightning strikes again. Yeah. But Debbie jumps on him as he gets struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And is sent back with him to the trenches of World War One.
Yeah.
But she doesn't believe it.
No. What does she say?
She says something like, why is this kind
she
of...
She said, tell me this is a dream or... So they're in a trench in World War One, and she says, is this a dream? Jim, tell me you set this up.
Yeah.
What kind of demented fucker is she coming back? So, Debbie, where have you been? Well, Jim took me to France. But was it nice? It was a little war-torn, but it was nice. Who the fuck is the first one? Goes, yeah, this looks like a prank.
Hmm. Probably maybe I thought it was like a Jackass.
Yeah. Thing. Down, down, down. Okay, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Today we're pretending this woman is in Ypres.
Because there is a bit at the end, I don't know if you noticed, where Steve-O comes running out.
Yeah,
and he nails and puts a nail into his bell end. It's good.
Beadle comes out.
And then, Beadle. He comes out of the Jamaican traffic warden.
Now, Debbie, you thought that we had literally plunged you through time to one of the bloodiest times in history. How do you feel? Don't shake my hand.
And then you get a little picture of her in the box in the corner laughing.
Yeah, laughing. Yeah, in the studio. Oh, I can't believe I was that terrified of war.
I was more scared of your hand, though. Yeah. This is the bit of, again, when you hear an American saying the word, it just sounds so weird because Jim says, yo, Biggles. Yo, Biggles. Mind telling me the plan? And he's got this map and they're going to go through these caves to find the weapon.
Yeah.
But when they get in the caves, some Germans are in there. Now, they're establishing a whole point through these caves. You know, be careful. They're very precarious, these caves. As soon as some Germans turn up, Biggles starts throwing grenades in there.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's the Germans making it precarious.
Yeah.
The caves themselves, they're tight, but the Germans are a problem.
But when they get out to the where the weapon is, which is actually the Becton Gasworks, where they made Full Metal Jacket.
Where they made Full Metal Jacket and the Bond one for Your Eyes
Only. For Your Eyes Only.
On the helicopter,
With Blofeld.
Yeah.
Delicatessen and Stainless Steel.
This is the only part of the movie that is actually good.
Yes.
It actually is quite sinister.
Yeah.
It helped a lot by that, by Becton Gasworks looking really quite creepy and broken and sinister.
But Jim says, this place looks like it's been nuked. Biggles says, what does that mean? He goes, it's an American word for overreact.
Yeah.
What?
Looks like this town is nuked.
Nuked? What's that?
It's an American slang word. It means to overreact.
This place looked like it's overreact.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Also, is that supposed to be a pun as well? Like reactor?
Oh, reactor? Maybe. Maybe this was the year of Chernobyl.
It was. I mean, I don't know if it...
They probably just watched the news about Chernobyl.
And they're like, you know what? Time travel and nuclear death are really hot right now.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did you read as well that one of the first choices they had to play Biggles was Dudley Moore?
Oh, my God,
I
know.
How fucking terrible would that have been?
Are you out of your mind? That would be, that's the movie I want to see.
Oh, really?
Pete and Dud doing it.
Oh, well, yeah. That'd be amazing.
What are you going to do there, Dudley? Do you think you might take on the sound machine? Yeah, I thought I might just, save Europe from the hand of German oppression. That's a very good idea there, Dudley,
What is it about Welsh people doing good impressions of Peter Cook?
Why, who else does it?
Rhys Evans.
Oh, yeah.
He did that not always, but sometimes. It was
not
good.
Only, but... But not only but always, I think it's just us two.
It's just you and him.
Yeah.
Are you two mates?
No, we have mutual friends. Oh. We've never met.
I thought you might know each other because you're both from
Wales. We don't all know each other, you racist.
Yeah, you do.
All Welsh people look the same to me. I'm so sorry. I'm
sorry, they just do.
They should go back to the jungles or wherever they're from.
You have rabbits or something, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. But the weapon is about to be set off, and they get boringly captured by Germans. And there are these dummies tied to poles to test the weapon. And they're about to be put inside this big metal igloo. And as they're about to be put in, Jim says, the ceramic tiles, just like the space shuttle.
How does he know all this? There's that one. Also, in the previous scene, he's just beat the fuck out of a bunch of well-trained German soldiers.
Yeah, he has.
Again, he is a frozen food executive.
I'm sorry to break this to you. He's a time twin. So he's probably inherited some of Biggle's powers.
As anyone knows, a time twin is given the powers of understanding space shuttle technology and the ability to fight. Any fool knows that?
I have to put on a wise voice to tell you this, but it's a lot more common than you think.
I'd love it if they just... Because the thing is, if they had just gone to the trouble of just making any bullshit mythology up, I would have been fine with it.
Mm.
I'd be like, that's fine. As long as I feel they've made the effort, rather than go, you're a bunch of dumb 80s cunts. Just, time twin, swallow it and fuck off, right? We've just shot a bunch of very expensive aerial photography, and if you think we're going to waste our fucking time by giving you a sensible plot, get fucking shitted, right? Margaret Thatcher's just taken away our money. Watch the film. We've made a fucking Blue Peter for you, you little pricks. Watch the film. Watch the fucking film.
Sorry, is this a me or...?
This is the people of the 80s.
Right, good.
This is my sense of what the producer of Biggles is saying.
I was feeling attacked.
Well, you like it. See,
you did call me a prick.
Not you.
Yeah, I know.
The people of the 80s.
Yeah. It's your Welsh accent again. It's intimidating.
It is intimidating, but I feel charming and lilting.
Oh, I know. But anyway, so they have a big fight with the Germans. They win. And they go inside the ceramic igloo as the weapon is set off. And the weapon... It causes everybody to sort of melt.
But if you're already a bit sloppy like a human, you melt. And if it's hard, you go crunchy.
Yeah.
Again, this is just basic science.
Like a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the walls collapse a little bit. But there's a bit where Jim, for no reason, touches a thing. It's like he looks at it and he goes, I reckon that machine gun's going to crumble if I touch it. That's my American accent.
It's good.
And he does it and it crunches. And then Debbie looks at the...
No, Algy then touches the wall.
Algy touches
collapses.
The wall and that collapses.
Yep, yep.
And then Debbie goes, I wonder what happens if you put your finger in a dead German's face. And so, oh, that is horrible. Oh, I don't know why I did that. Oh, should have started on a bit of metal.
She's literally holding his fucking eyeball in her hands.
She's literally holding his eyeball. I think they've cut that as well. I don't know what version you saw, but I seem to remember when I was six, that was like probably like a drawn-out shot of something really goofy.
Yeah.
I think they've cut that for modern cowards.
They need to release the Biggles.
Yeah, release R-rated the tapes.
Cut. Yeah.
Well, it's still a PG. That's what I love. PG was different in the 80s. You could see a grown woman put a German's face right off.
Mm.
Modern Britain.
Modern Britain. You wouldn't get that. But Biggles suddenly declares, they've perfected a bloody sound weapon.
Everyone goes, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Thanks. So Jim starts, they go into a building to investigate, and then more Germans come. So Jim picks
up... I'm pretty sure it's the same Germans that we've seen all the way through the movie.
Absolutely.
It's the same eight extras who got a really long day's work that day.
Mm. And they got to go to Beckton. Nice. He starts shooting at the Germans, but just then he's sent back to the present, and he's machine-gunning all the police.
Yeah. For a long time as well.
Ages.
He doesn't like go, hang on, something's changed. He's just like, oh, fuck the police.
Mm.
He goes, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's on the run.
Well, he says to Debbie, I got to go. And he says, ditch the cops, he says to her. So she gets in a bin.
Yeah, wait a minute, what happened there? She just gets in a bin?
Yeah, and goes, oh!
What the fuck kind of plan is that?
It's not a plan, is it? Really?
I thought I'd missed something there. It's one of those ones I feel like there's a shot missing.
But Jim gets on a roof, and it looks like he's going to get caught. So a big helicopter comes down, and I was obsessed with this helicopter as a kid because it had a giant boil on the side, which turns out is a speaker, I realised last night. And it's just saying to him, you know, freeze, freeze, but in English. And just as it looks like he's fucked, a gloved hand comes from behind the wall and grabs him and pulls him back. And it's only bloody Biggles.
Yay.
He's jumped forward.
Keep still. Where'd you come from?
I have no idea.
That whole in time, it keeps happening to me.
What do you call that?
That's a helicopter.
Is that explained why?
I guess, because doesn't Peter Cushing say you must be there for each other? Doesn't he say the hole in time goes both ways?
That's right, yeah.
Which he says it's very subtext to say if you both want to stay over tonight.
For the purposes of the podcast, I was just winked at.
But yeah, so Biggles takes him to Tower Bridge because obviously he knows London like the back of his hand.
Oh, I guess he would, yeah, that makes sense.
It hasn't changed at all in 70 years.
No?
No, the buildings are all
exactly... He takes
him
to a Rumbelows.
Takes him to...
That was my Rumbelows.
There should be a bit where he stops every 5 seconds and goes, what the fuck's that?
Well,
what the fuck's that?
But he only does it once, and that's when he sees punks.
Yep.
Because this is... it's this moment where it almost becomes that episode of Quincy. Where he has to... Yeah, punk is... You know, these kids are... And he gets angry, and he goes, what on earth is going on? But... Also, I love the way that the grown men who made this film think punks behaved. They think an average day for a punk is you dress up as a punk, and then you sit around a fire,
a barrel fire, on a wasteland,
and that's punk.
And you've got a ghetto blaster.
You've got a ghetto blaster. But that's not playing because you're listening to the crackle of the fire. That's the sort of tunes you're into. And also, you look exactly like a World War One pilot. Which is how he's able to blend in seamlessly.
Well, this is his plan, because the police have surrounded Tower Bridge. They can't get on there.
Why have they surrounded Tower Bridge?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they don't know anything about Tower Bridge.
They do not. The only person who knows about Tower Bridge is Debbie. Unless she grasped on him.
But she can't have done. No. She's in a bin screaming.
She's in a bin screaming. Like a borrower. But yeah, Biggles' grand plan is, I've got an idea. So he gets in the middle of these punks, and Jim has to wear a flat hat like a reggae man. But also put a ghetto blaster on his shoulder, like they used to in the old days, and walk like the Hofmeister Bear. And they walk past the police, and then they run up the Tower Bridge and go inside to find Peter Cushing. And he says, I got the photo developed, and I've also given you a map of its position. That's very helpful of him.
That is very helpful of him. This is my favourite scene, because I don't know if you noticed, but in this scene, Peter Cushing has a pet raven.
Yes.
And during one of the little monologues, the pet raven does a big shit.
Didn't notice this.
Does a big shit. For those of you playing at home, it is at 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 20 seconds. And not only did they use the bird taking a shit take, the mic was close enough that you can hear it land, and no one in the dub has bothered removing it.
That's amazing.
I've got the photograph for you.
That's amazing. Oh, my God.
Bertie, Algy, Ginger and me.
Exactly.
It was taken when our unit received its first commendation.
But Cushing is very happy to see him because he reminds him he was his commanding officer when he was 12.
Yeah.
Do you remember me? I was the little Lord Snooty in the top hat.
I was 8. You must remember that you had a small boy who would send you off to die. You must remember him.
I thought we killed you, didn't we? No, you left me for dead.
But I didn't recognise you. He goes, no, time's taken its toll.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah. I've aged, you stupid cunt.
And we'll get to that. I want to ask you a question about that later. But there's no way out because the police have got the place surrounded.
Yeah.
But luckily, as we mentioned earlier, Cushing has got two ropes, big long ropes as well, just lying about, probably near that raven shit.
Yeah.
And they're able to just whack it out of the window and abseil down.
I love that. So the police have surrounded the entire bit apart from the only possible rappel point.
Yeah.
Which they thought, who's going to rappel down that?
Yeah.
Who's got rope?
Yeah.
And we won't even bother covering the back window.
No.
And so they get away scot-free.
And they leave a helicopter lying around.
They just leave the helicopter lying out with the keys in.
Yep. And he gets in and he says, you're not going to fly this thing, are you? He says, if you can fly a Sopwith Camel, you can fly anything.
What an ingenious contraption.
What are you doing? Hey, what do you think you're doing? We better get out of here before they see us. Wait a minute, you're not serious again to try to fly this thing, are you? You don't know how.
If you can fly a Sopwith Camel, you can fly anything.
Stay where you are!
Let me tell you this, because when I watched this, I had a flashback to watching this in the cinema in 1986, right, with my mother.
Yeah.
So he says, if you could fly a Sopwith Camel, you could fly anything. And my mother leaned over to me and said, any fool can fly a Sopwith Camel. She used to just throw shit like that in. Like there was some dark past. Like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
I know how to fly a sop with camel. That's all I'm going to say. I know how to fly a sop with camel, all right?
How did
never found out.
No.
I'll tell you.
Mind you, she's read loads of Biggles books, though.
She has, but I very much got the sense that this was first-hand information.
Right. Well, I mean, she might have got like a flying lesson because she's such a big fan of Biggles.
But you don't learn about... They don't do sop with camels.
Why not?
Well, you can't...
In Wales, though.
Maybe. Bang up to date.
Yeah.
Occasionally she'll say something and you're like, well, you did some stuff before I was born, didn't you? Like, she's also got... In her diary one time, I noticed that she's got a phone number for a company that I looked up. They just call like Global Consultants. And what they are is every time you're in a war zone and you need... If somebody gets kidnapped, they're the people they send in to do ransom drops.
Wow.
And I'm like, why have you got their number? She goes, you never know. What the fuck?
Why... Well, she's right, because you are now a famous Welsh person. You might get kidnapped for a ransom.
Again, I feel like she's used them for something before. Like, yeah. This isn't like... I think I might have seen a loyalty card one time. Yeah, I've got 9 stamps. Do I get the 10th ransom drop free? Cheers. Yeah, my son's gone missing.
Well, 3 cheers to your mother.
She's a good woman.
Yeah, good. So, when they get in the helicopter... Jim Ferguson suddenly reveals that he's like your mum, because he says, why don't you turn on the autopilot? It's this button.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you know that? Yeah. You're a TV dinner man.
Doesn't say autopilot, though.
Might do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is when we get our favourite song. It goes like the TV show Spats. But then they're sent back to... They have a bit of a moment where they're flying around the Thames. He's getting the hang of the helicopter. It's all fun.
Yeah.
And then they're sent back to 1917.
Have you seen my baby?
Have you seen my showgirl? My baby? I'll drop that in here. Have you seen my baby? Have
you seen my showgirl? Have you seen my baby? Wasn't that fun, everyone?
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? But then he flies the helicopter to meet Bertie, Algy and Ginger, and they're just bewitched by the flying windmill.
Yeah. This is a lovely little scene, actually.
Yeah.
Because they work quite... Those four actors actually work quite well together.
They do.
There's a lot of like...
Oh. I want to see a film with only those four in it,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. Not Jim. It shows you what a good Biggles movie could have been.
Yeah.
But we're never going to get it.
This is a classic, like I was saying earlier, it feels like a British idea that's been Americanized...
Yeah.
And it's ruined the British idea.
Yeah.
We used to have to put up with that a lot.
Even though it is a British film, and I think everyone on it was pretty British, but I think they were hoping to tap that American market, yeah.
You know this got released 2 years later in America. 1988 this came out in America.
Is that like a viral marketing thing? It's Adventures in Time. It's just gone through.
Yeah.
It's just skipped to the future.
It happens a lot more than you think.
Especially on terrible release schedules for shitty British films.
So he says to the Algy and the boys, right, you go to the convent and protect everybody. Ferguson and I, and you'd think Bertie, Algy and Ginger are a bit like, oh, this new bloke's getting a bit more attention than us.
Yeah.
Not happy about that. He says, we're going to go and stop the weapon. And then he says to Ferguson, are you still with me, Ferguson? What do you say? He says, I say, let's kick some ass, old boy.
You still with me, Ferguson? What do you say?
I say, let's kick some ass. Old boy.
Have you seen my baby?
Straight back. Are you annoyed by old boy as well?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah. I don't like it when I don't like it when Americans use the word pound or quid. No. Oh god.
Oh. Or anything.
Or I'm happy with them. I mean, vaccinations, I wish they'd use them more. But British words, it just like they don't sound authentic when they say, can I get a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Get a coffee.
You have to say coffee, you can't say tea.
And you can say coffee.
Yeah. And a slice of bonoifi pie.
Mary Poppins.
No, that was an American.
Yes, yeah. But that, okay.
From Brooklyn.
I see. Yeah. Have you been there?
No.
No.
I've been to America, not Brooklyn, though.
Which bit of America?
California.
Aye.
California. Sorry. Where have you been in America?
California.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah, I've been there.
What a hellscape.
Horrible. I hated it.
That was the worst time I've ever had.
Same. I really didn't like it.
A car blew up in front of us. What? And drove from LA to Vegas, and a car exploded. It just went, I want to die in the desert. And I thought, maybe we should turn around. I'm not saying this is an omen, but let's go.
Yeah. I just thought it was like a horrible migraine.
Yeah,
I didn't like the way that every hotel you stay in, there's no windows or anything once you're downstairs.
What?
When you're downstairs,
oh, right.
They take out the windows so people gamble all night and don't realise what time it is. There's no clocks, there's no windows.
Did you gamble?
No.
I did gamble and I won $10 straight away and I thought, I've beat the house.
Yeah.
And I stopped.
Were you worried they were going to take you back and knock your hands off with a hammer?
Knock my hands off with a hammer?
Back in casino.
They beat him up. They don't knock him off like it's a plastic hand.
They knock his hand, don't they?
They knock it. They don't knock it off it's a plastic one.
Yeah, they knock his hands off.
No, I felt I was safe at $10.
I don't know. You did beat the house.
Yeah, I did. I did. I was the only person who won that night.
There's only a 3,000,001 chance that could happen. Knock his hands off.
Don Rickles came over and called me a hockey puck and get the fuck out.
Called you a skunk pussy. Anyway, so they go off in the helicopter to take on the weapon.
Yeah.
And Bertie, Albie and Ginger, whatever they're called, they go to protect the covenant. But the microphone, the big bulbous ball on the side of the helicopter, I didn't realise this when I was a kid, is actually a speaker.
Yeah.
So they use it. His idea is to fight sound with sound.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how this works.
No, it doesn't work. So they've got the... They've put the microphone for the helicopter, they've put that on the speakers, that's dangling outside. So anything coming out of the sound weapon is going into the speaker and then being shot back at it. Is that correct? This is the theory?
I think so. And also, Biggles and Ferguson are completely unharmed by being in front of this big
What's
ray.
That about? How come this time it's fine?
Don't know. It melted a German's face a minute ago.
Yeah. Wasn't an helicopter.
No.
Good British helicopter. Probably made by British Leyland.
Probably.
Good quality.
Yeah.
That's how they used to advertise British-made helicopters. Won't take any bother from a 1917 sound machine.
Yeah.
That's how they used to market them. Now they're gone.
Maybe it was coated in some sort of sound-resistant
Well, mind you, paste. The doors are open.
That's true. So it's just not been thought through, is it?
Yeah.
But it does work, though, incredibly. The sound weapon blows up.
Yeah.
And then Biggles turns to Ferguson and says, "You might say I nuked it."
Yeah, how is he now using it sort of correctly based on the terrible exposition he was given for what the word nuke means?
I don't know.
Because what he thinks he's saying is, you might say, I overreacted it. No, it doesn't make sense.
Well, the thing is, Dan, what you forget is, Biggles is a time twin. It's a lot more common than you think.
Time twinning. And it explains everything.
I want to know, because after it blows up, they fly over the trench. So we get hundreds of... Oh, I know there's only six of them. But hundreds of soldiers potentially see this helicopter. Does this change the future?
I guess if they're far enough away... I mean, I've taken this seriously now. I guess if they're far enough away, it could be explained as a different aircraft. And it could be like, oh, it is a plane. And they do go to the trouble of making sure that the helicopter does explode so there's nothing left of it.
That's true.
As evidence of technology from the future. That's the only part of this fucking film that's thought out.
Like at the end of Back to the Future 3, you mean?
When
they destroy the DeLorean.
And the little child touches his dick.
Yes. Best bit of the film.
Yeah.
But the soldiers all celebrate. They go back to the convent where Bertie, Algie and Ginger have a shootout with the Germans.
Yeah.
Helicopter arrives with, "Have you seen my baby? Have you seen my showgirl?" Yeah.
Is it showgirl or sugar?
It says I've written showgirl, but
I think
I'm not
it's
sure.
Sugar.
It might be sugar.
Which is, again, doesn't make any sense.
It's just John Anderson having a
laugh. Yeah. See my baby and my sugar. I'm trying to find my missing baby and...
Some sugar.
And some sugar for a cup of tea for the baby. That's a terrible song. Oh, God, it's such a rambling mess. What else did that guy write, by the way? Did he write anything good?
Well, Yes, were quite a successful band.
What was their big song?
Shut Up, Be Your Face.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
No, they didn't really have songs. They were prog.
What are they? Like tone poems?
Well, you know, where they go on for about 15 minutes with wanky bass and stuff.
Now, Wanky Bass was... Which band was he in?
He was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right, okay. I'm going to have to look at more of this guy's work because I'm curious. Is this indicative of his
body? No, absolutely
of
work? Not.
So these.
Oh, actually, Yes, Did Own a Rather Lonely Heart.
All right, I do know that one.
Yeah.
No, this is like a mess of that.
Oh, yeah, it's a total mess.
Because as a friend of mine pointed out, she's like, they've started with the idea of a sound weapon that will make you want to die.
Yeah.
And they've accidentally given that as the brief.
Yes.
To the composers.
Mm.
Right.
They might have been taking cocaine.
I refuse to believe that anyone in the arts in the 80s was taking cocaine.
You mean cocaine?
Cocaine.
Yeah, they probably were. Sorry. But as they're trying to run away from the convent, right, the helicopter turns up, and Von Stahlein turns up, and he shoots Marie.
Yeah.
She's shot, and we get that beautiful music again.
Yeah.
As she's lying there looking dead, and Biggles picks her up and says, "You stupid woman." But the helicopter gets destroyed, as we said a minute ago.
Yeah.
But the best bit about this is that Biggles then decides he's going to take on Von Stahlein. Mano a mano, right? Because Von Stahlein's in his plane, but Biggles goes out just by himself with a machine gun.
Yeah.
Fires it and misses him every time.
Yeah.
Then eventually shoots him with a pistol, I think. No, he throws a grenade into him.
No, he starts shooting with a pistol, the machine gun runs out, and then he throws a grenade.
Which lands in his lap.
Which lands perfectly. And it's not even like nearly missed.
No.
It was an NBA goal shot.
Yeah.
It's like oh God, I hate it so much.
It's like throwing a tennis ball into a netball net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes straight, in the lap. And he doesn't even think, maybe throw it out.
Yeah.
They do
this weird moment where he throws a grenade, it lands in Stalin's lap.
Yeah.
Stalin throws a grenade, it lands by his feet.
Yeah, by Biggles' feet, yeah. And Biggles just walks away from it, goes,
It even blows up, and then he just walks away. But the best thing is, because they can't afford to blow up that Sopwith Camel.
Yeah, I love this shot.
It goes over the hill, and then an explosion goes off at the hill.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's how they used to do it.
Yeah.
That is the wonder of old school effects.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. But Biggles walks back into the convent to see Marie because it looks like she's dead. But she's been dabbed a couple of times with a cloth and now she's fine.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm telling you about post-Brexit Britain. They're like, see, you don't need an NHS. Have you considered dabbing a woman who's been shot multiple times by an aircraft?
Mm-hmm.
It'll work fine.
But then we jump back to present day. Jim just gets dropped into the Thames.
Yeah. I think about that as that's another bit I think about a lot. I remember now when I was a kid, every time I like jump off a windowsill, I'd be like, "Oh, I'm falling into the Thames."
Aww. See, Biggles has affected you.
It has more now.
And he's arrested by the police, and he's being taken away because he's a lunatic who shot a policeman with a machine gun. And then Peter Cushing turns up, and he says, "I'm with the Sky Police." Or something.
Yeah.
And he says, "I'll take him away." And then he says,
"I'm fine if you're with the Sky Police."
Yeah, no.
He just shot a bunch of our guys. That's fine. The Sky Police. That seems legit.
I'll take charge of this man. Special air intelligence business. Come with me.
Well, did you finish the job?
Yeah, we finished it.
Good show.
So he goes away and he meets Debbie again and they're all happy. And then he says to Cushing, whatever happened to Biggles? Did he die? And he says his whereabouts are unknown.
He said, I never did find out.
Yeah.
He goes, last I heard, he was on a mission to Papua New Guinea, and so far we haven't heard anything. Well, wait a minute, this is 70 years later.
Yeah.
What do you mean, so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're expecting anything from... Also, he's on a mission to Papua New Guinea, so this... He doesn't say the timeline.
No.
But it must be 65 years in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I hold out hope. And then he just leaves it there. Anyway, bye.
Mm-hmm. But then Jim and Debbie are getting married, and this is a bit we were talking about earlier with Chuck being the best man because Jim doesn't know anybody else.
He does. He knows that other guy.
Yeah,
who isn't going to eat the ring
and the fucking
which again?
The people in the church, because this is the budget we're dealing with. It's the bloke who was in it earlier with the beard.
Yeah,
and the lady who also works for that company. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's their entire
wedding. Imagine if they had all the German soldiers sitting in the back. We'd got them for another 4 hours.
Yeah. Like. That melted face guy his eye hanging out.
Dab him, just so it's not as obvious.
He should pick out the ring from his pocket and his eyeball would be in there.
Just like,
So, they're just about to get married. He's just about to put the wedding ring on her when he gets sent back to the past again, and now he's in like a cave. By the way, it's the same cave from earlier when he was chasing the Germans. But
how do you know?
Because it looks exactly the same.
It's lit differently.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same cave.
Papua New Guinea in it.
Check it out yourself, listeners.
All right.
It's the Doctor Who principle. They found a cave.
Two caves. A cave's a cave.
Yeah, but they found a cave and probably shot it all in one day.
Fair enough.
Quick, untie us. Get us out of here before they start realising you're not a god, you're just an American.
But Biggles, because we're in the past and we're problematic, Biggles and his friends are in a pot. Standing up in a pot, like they used to in comic books.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, probably happened in Biggles a lot, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And he's being cooked. But because Jim comes via a lightning bolt, Biggles says, quick, hurry up and save us before they work out you're not a god. It's pretty obvious from the get-go, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, because he's come from nowhere. That's fine. It's racially insensitive, but it is one of the few moments of logic in the film. Why is the when you were a kid, did you think, oh my god, I think the film's nearly finished, and then that happened, you were like, there's probably going to be another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There's another scrape there right now, and it ends.
Yeah.
It just ends.
Well, they run off and they get a spear thrown at them.
Yeah.
And then, it ends. But I want to know about, the time jump.
Yeah.
You know, it happens in opportune moments, like when he's shaving and listening to Another One Bites the Dust. What if he's 50 years old and he's performing autoerotic asphyxiation? And suddenly, Biggles is in trouble. So he arrives in a Nazi base during World War II.
With a bag on his head.
A lemon in his mouth. Wanking. At last we meet Mr. Ferguson.
Somebody want to get this guy a rope? there should be a way to opt out of this.
Yeah, there should be. What if he's making love to his wife? Because this is supposed to be his honeymoon, of course.
Yeah, exactly. If he turned up like half an hour later...
Yeah.
You're thinking of the logic of this more than...
I know.
I think we've thought about this more than... I don't know. We've been recording, 3-4 days now? And we've definitely thought about this more than the writers did.
One of my favourite facts about this, by the way, much like with Superman 4, the premiere was attended by Prince Charles and Lady Diana.
And not only that, it was televised.
Oh, my God.
They literally televised the thing. This was a different time in the year. It is. That's how I found out.
Fantastic.
There was Nick Owen.
Yes.
Hosted by Nick Owen.
He used to always host them, yeah.
Who's watching the premiere of anything?
It used to be on all the time.
But what? Who's that for?
It was always a charity event, but it was always to create excitement about the film.
That's fine. And have the event. I got no problem with that. But what the... Who is 8:30 at night going, oh, fuck, God, I can't miss this. We're going to watch some rich fuckers and Nick Owen meeting people we've never heard of.
I used to watch the Bond ones.
Why? What's that about? Because they would run half an hour, an hour?
Yeah, half an hour.
What entertainment value was this? Sky
do it. They got people turning up on the red carpets at premieres all the time, haven't they?
My question still stands. Who is it for?
Fans.
Of what?
Glitz. Glamour.
That's a hell of a Twitter handle. Just a big fan of glitz. What do you mean, just in general? I just love glitz.
I love it, I love the glitz. Talking of which, now we've finished Biggles.
Oh, God.
We're going to have some quick-fire questions.
All right, okay, fine.
Dan Thomas.
Yeah.
Who is the best, or who was the best, sorry, Arnie or Sly?
Who have they died?
No, they're still around. They're just not as effective as they used to be.
Arnie made the better movies that I am more fond of.
Yeah.
But Sly was probably a better actor, definitely a better writer. And also, Sly didn't write an autobiography that is the worst book I've ever read in my fucking life.
Oh, really? I've not read Arnie's autobiography.
Oh, Total Recall.
It's called Total Recall, isn't it?
It's called Total Recall. It is 650 pages of absolute dirge. There's only one sentence in it that is good. And that when he's talking about making Total Recall, and he goes, Sharon Stone was very nice. She's a good person as long as you don't touch her neck. And then he just moves on. It's like, wait a minute, what happened to the fucking neck? There's an anecdote there I'm missing out on.
Did he throttle her?
I don't know if he just brushed someone off her neck and she beat the shit out of him.
Like Mark Field MP.
What did he touch Sharon Stone's neck?
No, he touched that protester's neck, didn't he, the other day.
Oh, yes. This is going out in 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Google it.
It's time stamp.
Ask your grandparents.
You might have time twins who are there. What's the best action movie of all time?
Lawrence of Arabia. I don't know why everyone keeps saying Die Hard.
Mm.
Die Hard's perfectly good. Lawrence of Arabia is an action movie that is also the best movie of all time. So, leave it.
Would you like to be a time twin with Lawrence of Arabia?
No, because I'm sure there were some situations that he was in that I'm like, I'm fine.
You might have saved him when he was having his motorbike accident.
Well, how am I... By taking a hit for him?
By being in his sidecar?
Well, if he'd been in a sidecar, he'd have had better balance and he wouldn't have toppled it anyway.
Exactly.
I could have just gone back and said, you know what? I'd buy the sidecar. How much is that? 500? Put it on. Treat yourself, Elliot. Treat yourself. That's how I would have saved Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, that's good. Terrorists have taken over a skyscraper. You can take three celebrities with you to stop them. Who are you taking up the Shard and why?
I'm going to make it all Welsh. I think I'm going to have... I'll have Windsor Davis.
Lovely.
Specifically from Some Others Do Have Them.
Lovely.
I mean, do I need anyone else?
Not Some Others Do Have Them.
Not some... No, wait a minute.
It Ain't Half Hot Mum.
It Ain't Half Hot Mum. Yeah. All right. I would like to recast... Some Others Do Have Them with Windsor Davis,
yep,
for a start.
That'd be much better.
I think I'm in a bit of trouble.
Poor Betty.
Oh, Betty, lovely boy.
The cat's done a whoopsie in my beret. So he did wear a beret, you know, I thought, Mum.
He did. Nice big... okay, I forget what the question was, about what Windsor Davis in Some Others Do Have Them.
Yep.
We call the baby Rambo.
What are your other two Welshmen you're taking?
Who shall I take? What I mean, I want to take... I'll go up with them. Obviously, have I got to go with them?
You don't have to, but you can.
I'll go up. And,
you are the best Welshman.
I'm not. It's Windsor Davis. Is he still with us?
No, he sadly passed. Fuck. So it's you now.
All right. I will have probably just a couple of rugby players. I don't know any of their names, but just me and Windsor will just chat about show business anecdotes, and I'll send a couple of rugby players in to actually do the work.
So like Danny Cipriani or something?
You could say whatever you like. I wouldn't know.
Who's the great Welshman now, then? Because you used to have Burton... And then you add...
Is it Michael Sheen?
Oh, I suppose it is Michael Sheen, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'll stick him as well.
Comfortably Michael Sheen.
Well, yeah. I'll take Windsor Davis. I'll take Michael Sheen. Mm. I'll take Catherine Zeta-Jones, actually.
I bet you
because
would.
Because not like that. She's no. A good woman.
Yeah.
And I sometimes pass her parents' house in Swansea. And on occasion, you'll see Michael Douglas sweeping leaves.
No,
because I think it's still a Welsh thing. It's like, right then. So, Catherine, that husband of yours, I don't mind him coming to stay, but he's going to do his fair share of the fucking work when he's here, right? Mike, do the fucking leaves. And I swear, one time I'm pretty sure it was him because he was wearing like a purple running suit, and he was running along, and I saw like a bloke walking his dog, and this was across the road from me, and the bloke stopped Michael Douglas jogging, and I thought he was going to like ask for an autograph or something. And I just saw the bloke point back and got at like a dog shit. And he goes, all right, Mike, my dog's done a shit. Anyway, good talking to you. And then they just passed each other and moved on.
Okay. I didn't realise Michael Douglas went to Swansea.
Yeah, because Catherine's from nearby.
I thought he'd stay in LA.
You've got to go visit the grandparents, for fuck's sake.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
They rented out the Holiday Inn once.
Did they?
They had the whole top... When they got married in Swansea. They rented out the top layers.
They got married in Swansea?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So they rented the whole... Just the Holiday Inn, which is, in Wales, is like a travel lodge.
Yes.
And so there's all these famous people, like, in the Holiday Inn, like Danny DeVito and people like
that. My God.
Just going to the Brewer's Fair, because that's the only place you can eat after nine. And, yeah, it was... I'm a fan of glitz as well, because I live in the Hollywood of South Wales.
You do. Also, Michael Sheen gets umpteen things clean. So he'd be good for terrorists.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. You can go back in time and stop someone being born. Who is it? Much like Desert Island Discs, I'll give you Hitler.
Rob Anderson.
Who's Rob Anderson?
Kid I went to school with. Absolute right. Prick.
Okay. Good. Okay. A hypothetical fist fight takes place between Rocky Balboa and John Matrix from Commando. Who wins?
I have some questions. Can it be any Rocky?
Yeah.
Rocky 3 and 4, I think he would beat John Matrix. Rocky 1 and 2, I think Matrix would have the edge.
I think you're right. Yeah, okay. And finally, if you could make your own 80s action movie, what would it be about? Who would be the lead and what would it be called?
Right, okay. I studied 80s action films in university because it was American studies and it was a DOS. And there's a lot of it was about how the reason American action movies get so overblown in the 80s is because it's this trying to recapture masculinity of the American male after the loss of Vietnam.
Hmm.
So, and obviously since then it led to this toxic masculinity. So what I'm thinking is an 80s movie that's a more gentle, modern man. So make it British, though, just for us. So that, I was thinking, what was the name of the bloke who played Adrian in Bread?
Oh, Peter...
Jonathan Morris. It was Jonathan Morris.
Sorry.
He's the lead.
Yeah.
He just takes on a mission. He hears that some Central American government are planning to make tampons a luxury item. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't approve of that.
Right.
Because women.
Yeah.
Let's just be fair to women.
Yeah.
So my answer is Jonathan Morris, tampon plotline. The title would be Bread Heat.
Bread Heat.
That's sort of 80s, isn't it?
That's very 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
Bread Heat.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Dan, thanks for being my time twin today.
This is, well, we're in the same time at the same time.
But I was in peril. I needed a guest on the show.
Oh, I see.
And you dropped through from Wales, which is the past. And you've helped me out.
Fuck off. Some of the places in this place are a ditch as well, London.
Yeah.
We've got clean running water.
You haven't been where I live.
Where do you live?
Worthing.
I don't know anything about it. It's down by the coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that where Dad's Army was set?
No.
Isn't it? It's a bit Dad's
Army. Dad's Army was a made-up place.
Was it?
Yeah.
But it looked like Worthing.
Yeah, basically.
So you've come all the way from Worthing for this?
Mm-hmm.
Into London?
Yeah.
This place is a hell. Are you a Londoner originally?
North London originally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Watford.
Do you like London?
It's all right. Do you like London?
No.
Oh.
No.
Why?
Seems a little backward.
Well, on that bombshell... Dan Thomas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.